You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It is the APC podcast once again, yet again, from acmepackingcompany.com. And SB Nation, Zach Rapport here at Zach Rapport on Twitter. Follow the show at the APC Pod. Like, subscribe, etc. Today, we are going to preview the Packers Monday night football game against the Atlanta Falcons. Alex and I were joined by SB Nation's Gina Thomas Kelly, a great resource for all things Falcons, covers the team, does TV work. She's really everywhere, and we had a great conversation, good perspective, good humor, and just some good vibes all around. So why don't we just get right into it? Enjoy.
The number you dialed is
Acme Packing Company.
All right, with the Packers set to take on the Falcons on Monday Night Football, we are happy to be joined now by Gina Thomas Kelly, Associate Director of NFL Team Brands over at SB Nation, ooh la la, and Atlanta Falcons content producer extraordinaire. Gina, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks, and thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure, our pleasure. So why don't we just get right into it, and I want to rip the Band-Aid. One motion right off, as they say on Seinfeld, and start by talking about blown leads. You know, because you're a fan. I know it hurts in your opinion. And as Vince Lombardi might say, what the hell is going on out there?
Well, I think that is a question that this team has been struggling to answer for the past couple of years. And it's the reason that a lot of Falcons fans were calling for Dan Quinn's head last year. You know, this has become a really persistent issue for this team. And obviously, you've all heard the 28-3 jokes. Like, we all know the worst blown lead in history is also credited to the Falcons. But, you know, they've had this happen over and over again. And this season has just been a comedy of errors. I mean, that Cowboys game is the most ridiculous way to lose a game that I could even imagine. Like, you could not write that as fiction and have it be believable, because everybody would be like, you are trying to tell me that professional football players don't know how to deal with an onside kick. And so, yeah. And then, you know, last week was somehow worse. It just is, this team is such a mess. They're playing with very little discipline, particularly on defense. They've had some injuries to key players. And you know, the defense in particular, again, is very banked up. The secondary is very weak because of injuries. And so, you know, my hopes for the season are pretty much, you know, maybe they'll win a game at some point. Will it be this week against the Packers? I highly doubt it.
You mentioned the, you know, Dan Quinn, his job being in jeopardy. That was certainly the case last year. I guess, how did you feel at the time when it seemed like Quinn could be on the way out? And how do you feel now, having kept him, but seeing the season start the way it has?
So I'm not spending any time at the Falcons facility this year or covering games because of the pandemic. But I have done that for many years. And so I've known Dan Quinn since he was hired by the Falcons. And I have a really good relationship with him. I respect him a lot as a person. He's a really nice man. And for the past couple of years, I would go on Wednesday afternoons to do some local TV stuff. And I would usually get there while he was in the media room doing his conversation with the opposing team's local media. And then we would just like sit there and chat. He would ask me about my job and we would talk about leadership and mentoring and all this stuff. Like, he's just a nice person. And I think he is a really good coach. I just think that what he is trying to do defensively, he doesn't have the personnel to do effectively. I mean, he has not had a Legion of Boom caliber lineup of secondary players in Atlanta. And so last year I was, you know, I thought that it made sense to let him go, but I was sad about it. And at this point, I still feel badly about it because I really like him a great deal, but it's very clear that he has lost the team. The team is not responding to him. They're not responding to coaching. They're not making effective changes. They're not able to adjust in game. And just the mental mistakes, the lack of discipline, these are things that have plagued this team for a couple of years. And those are on the coaches to correct. And so at this point, I see him as fully responsible for the team's performance so far this season. And I don't really think that Arthur Blank has another option.
Yeah, it's funny when you, everything that you're saying there, I kind of empathize with, because I feel like I and many Packers fans feel similar with Mike McCarthy. I'm actually happy to see him succeed, or well, we think he will succeed in Dallas. And I think that he has a ton of weapons there. The Packers just didn't have that. And at some point it just got stale. And I feel like now we're enjoying like this new, you know, the flair of Matt LaFleur, when really it was just, it had nothing to do with like the quality of McCarthy as a coach. It was just kind of time for the change.
So I want to tell you a quick story about, there's a guy who lives up near where I used to live, and he's a realtor now, but he was an offensive line coach for a long time. And he was with the Eagles when they lost the Super Bowl. He spent some time with the Falcons, which is how he ended up in the greater Atlanta metro area. And I was seated next to him at some event. And I was asking him, that was a year that the Falcons were just bad on the offensive line. And I was asking him his take on that. And he said he thought that it was the fact that the coach had sort of overstayed his welcome. And he said, these guys have all been playing football since they were children. So they've been hearing the same coaching about fundamentals and technique and all this stuff for decades. And he said, you know, they're going to still get the same instruction if they get a different coach, but sometimes they just need to hear it from a different voice. And I think that that's where the Falcons have gotten to with Dan Quinn. And I think that the Packers got to that point with Mike McCarthy too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think having a new voice and a younger voice and just like some, you know, a new approach to offense has helped the Packers. So I would like to see the Falcons succeed, in a post Dan Quinn era, which seems like it's coming. But I guess more to zone in on this game, are the Falcons, I haven't watched a lot of them this year. You know, I understand the blown leads, and to get out to those leads, you're doing something right. But I just think back to, you know, a couple of years ago, the Packers versus Falcons seemed just like everyone was always hammering the over, right? If you're betting on that game, like are the Falcons still that kind of team? The Packers are weak defensively. Like, are the Falcons still capable of hanging 30-35 on Green Bay in your mind?
Yes. In my opinion, yes. Does that mean that the defense will be able to stop Aaron Rodgers and company? Probably not. But, you know, I would definitely take the over in this game. Matt Ryan has been really, really good through the air, especially. They have not had a lot of success with the ground game. I think blocking is still an issue. I think that they're not using Todd Gurley intelligently. I don't think that you should be running every time you have a second and long. I don't think that that's a very good strategy, but that is very Dirk Cutter to keep doing the same thing, even if it doesn't work a bunch of times in a row. But yeah, we've seen Calvin Ridley really develop into somebody who could be a WR1 on another roster. I mean, he's been fantastic this season. Russell Gage, who was hurt last week, I'm not sure. I haven't seen today's injury report yet, so I don't know what his status is. But Russell Gage has kind of flashed early in the season. That's a name that not too many Packers fans may be familiar with. But he's a guy who's a little bit farther down the depth chart, but seems to have really good rapport and chemistry with Matt Ryan. And so he's had a lot of success so far. And then Hayden Hurst is another one. I was disappointed that he didn't get more targets last week. But I was impressed because I think his only target was a touchdown pass. And so, and in the first couple of games, he seemed to have, you know, pretty decent timing with Matt Ryan too. So through the air, if Julio Jones is ready to go this week, he was held out last week with a hamstring injury. And so, you know, that's up in the air. But if he's there and they've got Ridley and, you know, maybe Gage, maybe not available, I think that they'll be able to do some real damage through the air.
Gage sounds like a guy. Is he a guy? Is he undrafted or a late round pick?
He's a guy.
we have an official designation on our show where you can adopt someone as your guy, and the guy has to be sort of an unsung player, a day three guy, an undrafted guy, maybe a year or two with the club. And he's just, you learn a fact about him, you like him, and you follow him through preseason, although that didn't exist this year. But, you know, and then you just follow him over the years, and they're your guy. Robert Tonyan on the Packers is an example of a guy for me. Sounds like Gage might be a guy.
Yeah, listen, if anybody is looking for a guy, I recommend Russell Gage.
Yeah. And everyone needs their guy, you know, because that was like the fun of training camp and everything, and getting like way too invested in things that don't necessarily mean that much, right? And we're kind of robbed of that. So we've all adopted guys. And then they graduate into players because then they're like football players, right? That guy's a player. So we love to do that. The Packers have had a few of those come through, and maybe not as many as they used to in the Ted Thompson days, but
yeah, they graduate to players, or they, you know, they don't cut it. And then you see them on some, you're 2 years later, you're like, oh, Jake Stoneburner, that was a guy at one point.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned Matt Ryan and playing well. I mean, 90 points through three games, the team has scored. What's the Matt Ryan 2020 elevator pitch? What kind of quarterback play should Packers fans expect to see on Monday?
You know, I like to compare Matt Ryan to Tony Romo, who was best known for a few flubs. Overall, like when he was healthy, he was a really consistent player for the Cowboys. And Matt Ryan is consistent and consistently good. He's only gotten better in terms of accuracy over the years. He's managed to, you know, put up points even behind a terrible line for most of his career. And so he's a guy that he's a guy. No, he's not a guy. He's an actual player. But, you know, he is somebody who ever since he came here in 2008 has really led this franchise to the most success that the team has ever had consistently in its existence. And so Ryan is great. It's really just that he's only had an adequate defense once, and that was in 2013. And they went 13-3, won the division, won, you know, got a first round bye, beat the Seahawks in the divisional round, and then lost to the 49ers in the NFC Championship. And that's, I mean, even in 2016, the defense was middling. And so, you know, my elevator pitch for Matt Ryan is he is better than the team would suggest, because when you look at that 0-3 record, you know, you've got to think, what part did Matt Ryan play in that? And honestly, he's made very few mistakes this year. I think he may have only one pick, maybe two, but he's just made very few mistakes this year. He's been really sharp. And unless they can stop anything on the other side of the ball, it's just not going to matter.
Yeah. Is there sufficient outrage amongst the fan base about the fact that there haven't really been defenses like during the Matt Ryan era? Cause I just think about, you know, we are always just like, just give Aaron Rodgers a defense.
You're wasting his prime.
I mean, I just feel like on a national stage, you don't hear that narrative about the Falcons, but it's pretty true. I mean, he's done some pretty prolific things, and you bring in a head coach as a defensive minded guy, and yet still, like, they've just never been able to marry the two, like, you know, great offense with sufficient enough defense.
Yeah. Both of the head coaches that Matt Ryan has had in his tenure with the Falcons have been defensive minded head coaches. And like I said, he's had 1 year of a decent defense. My ex-husband is a Packers fan. I remember many, many years of him yelling about Dom Capers ruining the best years of Aaron Rodgers' career. So yeah, I'm very, very familiar with that side of things. But yes, Falcons fans are very angry about this all the time. I mean, and some of it is that I feel like Thomas Dimitroff's greatest blind spots are along both lines. And so Matt will often have, you know, exceptional skill position players around him, but a weak offensive line, which makes everything more difficult on his side of the ball. And then, you know, on the defensive side of things, they've got a bunch of guys who can't get any pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And so that makes everything much more difficult for the secondary. And, you know, just it's a disaster. So this is something that actually we have always been mad about. We've been mad about it for many years and nothing changes, which is why you will probably see a lot of Falcons fans calling for Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn to be fired this weekend.
Yeah. Do you think there's any salvaging the I mean, I think the Saints have some weaknesses. I think the Bucs are a little overblown. I'm just wondering, like, is it too late to turn it around? You know, it's just 0-3, but 0-3 is pretty hard to to overcome.
Yeah, and I just think one of the things that I have kind of kicked around in my head is that, you know, we did have no preseason. And so there is a possibility that the Falcons are still kicking off rust. Unfortunately, these games count. Like, it doesn't matter if you go 0-4 in preseason, but if you do it in the regular season, you're in pretty deep trouble. I just don't, looking at the way that they've lost and just kind of the lack of discipline, the mental errors and the injuries that are really stacking up. I just don't see a way for them to turn this around. That may be because the team crushed my soul in Super Bowl 51. And I have lost the ability to be optimistic about them. But yeah, I think that this is going to be a lost season. And then next year they will be rebuilding with a new head coach.
Yeah. You mentioned the defense and injuries. I saw Denard, the cornerback, goes to IR. What is sort of the state of the Falcons defense right now, three games in?
Well, the secondary has been banged up. First of all, they lost Desmond Trufant, who had been their top corner this offseason. So they have Isaiah Oliver, who's a newer guy. He's been drafted within the past couple of years. We drafted another guy this year, AJ Terrell, and he's been injured. Kendall Sheffield, who was a recent draft pick too out of Ohio State. He is also injured. He's been in the walking boot. And then the safeties have been banked up. Ricardo Allen was out this week. The backup safety, DeMonte Casey, who also will play some nickel. Casey was out at least part of the game this past week. So yeah, they're really banged up in the secondary. The linebackers are pretty thin too because of injuries. And then the defensive line is just really hit or miss. Tack McKinley is one of the stronger players along that line, and he is hurt. So he was not able to play last week. So yeah, it is not looking good on that side of the ball, especially when you're looking at facing a high powered offense like Green Bay's.
Yeah. You sound pretty pessimistic, but let's move into the prediction phase. How do you feel like these teams match up on Monday night?
I think that the Falcons should be able to put up points against the Packers defense. I don't think that will be an issue. So I think that this one will be a high scoring game. I haven't looked at the line on this one, so I don't know what the over under is, but I would say unless it's like, you know, 100, take the over. And then, you know, defensively, what's Devontae Adams' status? I know that he wasn't able to play last week, but have you seen I haven't seen the injury report for them today either. If Devontae Adams is playing, I think that they're just going to torch the Falcons. And even if he's not, I still think that they have the ability to torch the Falcons. The Falcons have not been stout against the run. So when you have to face a guy like Aaron Jones, I mean, I'm getting all flustered even thinking about it. Like I'm preemptively mad about how bad this defense is going to look against your team.
See, this is how I operate. It's funny to hear someone else that way too, because like last week when we were sitting here previewing the Saints, I was like, I mean, there's no way Alvin Kamara doesn't have a career day against the Packers. And like, lo and behold, he did. And he also embarrassed the whole team by breaking like six tackles on the same touchdown run. But
I would like to thank him for that, by the way. I really, really hate the Saints. And so that was just a little bit of joy that I needed in my day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm the Saints are, I don't have a lot of bad blood to the Saints, but I just feel like, I don't want to see Drew Brees get rewarded for throwing 5-yard passes for like however many more years that's going to happen. Like, that's just like, not something that excites me.
I can't wait until he breaks another record and they shut down a game to have a big celebration for, you know, him breaking it with a 5-yard pass.
Yeah, which he seemingly always does. And what was frustrating is that, you know, I can say that. And I think like a diehard Saints fan would be like, well, then stop it. And the Packers definitely did not do that. So that part of it was certainly frustrating. I was pulling up the 58 is the total right now for the game, which is a high number. It was 54 against the Saints, and obviously the over still hit. So I think we're betting we're looking at another shootout here.
I might still take the over.
I might too. I mean, that is pretty high. But I still, knowing the way that Matt Ryan has played and knowing how porous the Falcons secondary is, I still might take the over.
I'm trying to multitask and look up the injury report on my phone. I don't think that Devontae is practicing yet.
Yeah, I think he's still kind of nursing the hamstring and just being cautious, I guess. I don't know if that's what you would also lump Julio Jones into that category, if it's more of just like a let's really slow play it, no preseason thing. But
they typically do that with Julio anyway, even with the normal offseason. He typically will not practice on either Wednesday or Thursday just to get some rest. So if he was not active today, I would think that Thursday and Friday would give us a better idea.
Yeah. And again, even if he's not, like, the Packers, again, just consistently allowing the big games to the obvious guy. So then Calvin Ridley is just like a, you know, a shoe-in for like a good 125 and a score or two.
Will Redmond ever make a tackle? Find out again this week.
Oh, my God. Yeah. just brutal. But, yeah, he's the he was like guy territory, but then whatever like the opposite of graduating into a player is I feel like where we're headed with him. I feel bad saying that. I root for guys, but
it's a little bit of the Ladarius Gunter syndrome, maybe. Is that
He play for the Falcons, or am I totally making that up?
I feel like name is familiar, but I cannot remember off the top of my head.
I feel like he got let go in Green Bay, and he wound up somewhere for like a few weeks. And I could have sworn it was them, but I could be completely making that up.
Pulled a Jeff Janis and wound up somewhere for another month. One last thing before we let you go, Gina. I saw on TMZ that Andre Rison thinks that he could be the next coach of the Atlanta Falcons. What do we think about that?
Has Andre Rison coached anywhere? Like, has he been coached high school? Roddy White is coaching high school. So, I mean, I would be, at least if Roddy came back as like a position coach, I would be fine with that. That is hilarious. I'm going to have to look that up. I had not heard that. That is really interesting. I will say, you know, Arthur Blank has gone with the last two times with Mike Smith and with Dan Quinn, guys who had never had head coaching experience. And he also tried the college coach route with Jim Mora Jr. and with Bobby Petrino, which was just a complete catastrophe. And so what I think that we will see Arthur Blank do for a replacement will be a seasoned head coach. I think that it will be something like, you know, Jerry Jones' perspective, bringing in McCarthy this past offseason. I think he's going to want somebody who's established, who has a track record of success in the NFL as a head coach. And so that would, in my mind, disqualify Andre Rison. But, you know, I mean, set your goals high, bud. I hope it works out for you. That's great.
All right. Well, let's wrap up. Take the over, I guess, is the theme of the day. Points galore. Gina Thomas Kelly, thank you so much for stopping by and talking to little Falcons Packers with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, I hope both teams have fun. That's how I always end these interviews.
That's really all that matters, right? That's what I'm going to tell myself for the rest of the season since the Falcons are bad.
I mean, it's a child's ball game. You're chasing a bag of wind. Let's just go out there and have some fun, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us here. And again, a huge thank you to Gina Thomas Kelly for joining us and previewing Monday night's game. Please consider giving us a rating in Apple Podcasts. It is free to do so on the money side if you like to support content creators with a bit of spare change. Hey, we do that too. Patreon.com/NoteNugs. NoteNugs. Patreon.com/NoteNugs. All right, guys, Packers, Falcons, Monday Night Football. Enjoy the game. Be well. Be safe. Be nice to people. And we will talk to you right after the game with our rapid reaction pod. Until then, see you later. Drink it down, drink it down, drink it down.